family was driving home from church, and little Johnny was sitting in the back seat crying. He was crying and crying and crying, and his mom said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And he just kept crying. And finally he sobbed, and he said, "The pastor said he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have made us physical, emotional, spiritual beings. All the things that we encounter and experience are through these lenses. Yet at times we don't know what to do with the brokenness and suffering we encounter. We ask for your healing touch to be renewed, restored in your goodness. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is going to come out of Lamentations chapter 1, 1 through 22. I'm going to be preaching in the book of Lamentations now in the Old Testament. The text will be there. I'm not going to read it this morning because of its length, but you will hear it as I explain the text. Have you ever had a period of your life where things did not make sense to you? Often life has not gone the way that we envisioned, hoped, thought it would. Have you experienced this in your own life? I've mentioned this going back to my high school reunions and asking this question. Did life turn out the way you expected? 100% say, no, it did not. How do we handle the brokenness, disappointment, and loss without remaining permanently stuck or possibly living our lives in the past? When we're shattered like a million pieces of glass, how do we get back up off the floor? We can try to act like nothing happened, kind of stepping over things, but usually the brokenness will surface somewhere else. Many times our addictions are connected to some great pain that we've not been able to get over or work through, trying in some artificial way to numb the pain, but in reality we're just pushing it down further into our souls. It is becoming more common now for people not to do funeral services. Have you noticed? Now instead of giving ourselves an opportunity to grieve our losses and actually put a date on the calendar, we pretend like nothing at all important happened. Instead of being given permission to start grappling with our losses, Monday just starts another week, which leads into another month, which leads into another year. We have not learned to grieve our losses well in North America. In Jesus' time period, there was such a thing as professional mourners, people who were paid to grieve right alongside the family. Sometimes the loss is so great, we don't even have the words to describe the pain. Many people think the prophet Jeremiah probably wrote the book of Lamentations. It's made up of 5 poems reflecting on the siege of Jerusalem by the nation of Babylon. Pretty well, most everyone was killed or carried off into exile 500 miles away from home and everything they loved. This was the great nation that God raised up through Abraham and Sarah, a small and insignificant group until they left the slavery of Egypt over 1 million strong, headed to the promised land. 500 years of history, from Abraham to Moses to Elijah to Samuel to the great kings like David, to nothing again, to exile again. The fall of Jerusalem has been one of the most devastating experiences for the nation to date. Lamentation 1:1. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she's become, she that was great among the nation. She was a princess among the provinces and has become subject to forced labor. Have you ever been in a busy city in the daytime? But as it turns to evening, there usually are less people, less commotion, things become quiet, much like a school does for a teacher during the summer holidays. There used to be a TV show called The King of Kensington. Now, this will determine your age. It was based on a grocery store owner named Larry who helped his neighbors. Larry could not walk down the street without someone calling out his name because everybody loved Larry. The people of Israel have gone from being loved to being hated and enslaved. Jerusalem is desolate. It's a ghost town. Lamentations 1:2. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheek among all her lovers. Lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They've become her enemies. Israel's lovers were the other gods and nations they placed their ultimate trust in instead of the Lord God. Have you ever been in a situation where you were on the outside looking in? Everyone else seemed to be having a good time but you. Either you were not welcome or you could not embrace all that was going on around you because of a broken heart. Lamentations 1:3-4. Judah has gone to exile with suffering and hard servitude. She lives now among the nations. She finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her festivals. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young girls grieve. Her lot is bitter. There's no safe place for the people of God to lay their heads. It is hard when no place feels like home. There's nothing to look forward to. No family celebrations, no birthdays, no religious festivals, no more gathering of a community of faith. Lamentations 1:5-6. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies prosper because the Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away, captives before their foes. From daughter Zion has departed all majesty. Her princes have become like stags that find no pasture. They fled without strength before the pursuer. This is what God had promised Israel in Deuteronomy 28:13. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never on the bottom. Unfortunately, the people of God abandoned him, and they're reaping what they've sown. We can quickly forget that all the good things we enjoy in life come directly or indirectly from the hand of God. Lamentations 1:7. Jerusalem remembers all the precious things that were hers in the days of old. When her people fell into the hand of the enemy, and there was no one to help her. The enemy looked on and mocked her downfall. Sometimes we don't recognize this blessing of God in our lives until it's gone. This presence of God, or lack thereof, is a game changer. Lamentations 1:10. Enemies have stretched out their hands over all the precious things. She's even seen nations invade her sanctuary, those whom forbade to enter your congregation. The nation of Israel was to reflect what God was like to the rest of the world. Because of God's holiness, only the priests were allowed to enter the inner court, and only the Jews into the rest of the sanctuary. What was holy had now become profane. To treat something sacred with disrespect as the Gentiles went into the temple. Lamentations 1:11-12. All her people groan as they search for bread. They trade their treasures for food to revive their lives. Look, O Lord, and see how worthless I've become. Is it nothing to you? All you who pass by, look and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow, which brought me up, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger. God hates the things that will destroy us and warns us to stay far away. But what if we ignore his loving, cautioning voice? Psalm 86:5, O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask. What if we choose not to ask for the Lord's forgiveness, but instead we keep plodding down the path of destruction? Lamentations 1:16-17. For these things I weep, my eyes flow with tears, for a comforter is far from me, one to revive my courage. My children are desolate, for the enemy have prevailed. Zion stretches out her hands, but there's no one to comfort her. The Lord has commanded against Jacob, his neighbors should become his foes. Jerusalem has become a filthy thing among them. When God is for us, who can be against us? When God is against us, it doesn't matter who's for us. Lamentations 1:18. The Lord isn't in the right, for I've rebelled against his word. But hear all you peoples and behold my suffering. My young women and men have gone to captivity. Even when we suffer for doing wrong, it's a hard pill to swallow. At some point, we will all experience suffering in this life. Underline the word all. Hopefully, it'll allow us to become more compassionate when others are in need. The last two verses, Lamentations 1:21-22. They heard how I was groaning with no one to comfort me. All my enemies heard of my trouble. They're glad that you have done it. Bring on the day that you announced and let them be as I am. Let all their evil doing come before you and deal with them as you've dealt with me because of all my transgressions. For my groans are many and my heart is faint. God often used one nation to discipline another nation. Babylon is presently ransacking Judah. But it doesn't stop God from using a different nation like Persia to spank Babylon down the road. When your nemesis finally gets what's coming to them, don't celebrate too loudly. None of us have been perfect in our dealings, and we should be careful to remain humble as God opposes the proud. There was a story of a young boy that his mom sent to the grocery store. Did your mom ever send you to the grocery store to get something? Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. So he was sent for bread, but he didn't come back for a long time. And finally, when he came back to his house, his mom said, "Honey, where were you? I was worried sick." And he said, "On my way to the grocery store, there was a child on a tricycle that fell and got hurt. And I stopped to help them." And the mom said, "I didn't know you knew how to fix tricycles." He said, "I didn't." He just said, "I stood and cried there with him." Israel's being compared to a grieving widow, the lady of Zion with her grief and shame. She sits bereaved of her loved one, but no one comes to comfort her. Everyone has gone on with their lives, but she cannot. She calls out to God to notice her fate. Even in the worst possible situation, even in the worst possible outcome, in the end, it is God and God alone that we must turn to comfort us and heal us. It's always important to watch for repetition in the text of poetry such as this. The phrase "no one" was used 5 times in the 22 verses, affirming the aloneness, separation, having no one to share the suffering and pain with. No community, no support, no encouragement, no one to help you when you fall down, no one to comfort you. Also, the word "groan" or "groans" 5 times. When do we groan? Often when there are no words left, no tears left. Is an ache so deep within, it echoes our pain. We live in a broken world contaminated by sin, where people wrong us and hurt us, sometimes very, very deeply. There's a sickness and death, the breakdown of relationships from those we love. There are decisions that we make that hurt others, ourselves and God. The book of Lamentations is given as a gift in providing space to grieve of all of our significant losses. Our church family has endured a season like I've never seen before in my life of loss and death. We need permission to cry and grieve personally and corporately. The writer of Lamentations validates our pain and allows us room for a future hope. I want to affirm to you today that you are not alone. There's no place that we have been or where we could go that God is not present. So we can call out to Him in our aloneness, in our separateness. And the times where we have no words, where we have no prayers, we only have groans. Jesus knows and He cares. I encourage you in the days and weeks ahead to bring all that is broken within you to Jesus so He can begin healing you from the inside out. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you into the depth of our being to bring your presence and healing touch upon us. You know all the things that we have been through and all the times that we've been hurt and filled with pain. Come free us from the pain. Come fill us with your oil of healing. It is to you we cry out to, knowing that you will answer us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're all alone. There's a trouble stirring in your soul. And if your world is falling apart, just hold on till the morning break of dawn. Come and lay your burdens down to the place where freedom is found. At the feet of Jesus, come and lay your burdens down. When the deepest sorrow weighs on your heart, when you pray for answers, but the answers never come. For every tear that you cry, there's a promise He'll make your burdens light. Come and lay your burdens down to the place where freedom is found. At the feet of Jesus, come and lay your burdens down. Oh, lay them down. See Him face to face, all our worries will surely fade away. and in the presence of its glorious light, we sing hallelujah to the one who gave us life. Come and lay your burdens down to the place where freedom is found. At the feet of Jesus, come and lay your burdens down. Come and lay your burdens down to the place where freedom is found. At the feet of Jesus, come and lay your burdens down. Come and lay your burdens down.
I have a couple announcements. Benediction, we'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Just a reminder, youth is at 6:30 this week. They meet here. They're going to Aspen. Soup and pies next week. Encourage people to sign up for soup. Has anybody ever punched you in the gut? If you have siblings, yes. If you have siblings, you know what that feels like. Our initial response is to then protect ourselves. The Spirit of God is here today. And what happens when we protect ourselves is if we keep that shield up, it actually prevents anybody else from getting close to us, even God. And so what God wants to begin doing is opening us back up again from the many hurts that we've experienced in life. And he wants to pour his oil of healing in us so we're going to be okay again. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that when you cry, you will never cry alone. Jesus cries with you. If you want prayer today, it's at the back.
I've wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. And Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man I wandered along, worries and fears I claim for my own. Just like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Well, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. So happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander astray, for straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Well, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Just have a good week, everybody. God bless you.